about tunes as we play them, or as we prepare to play them. What goes? I kind of take a technical view of things. I like to take things apart and measure them and see if I can put them back together, to sort of look at them through conventional musical terms of scales and modes and chords and stuff like that.
I like the way it feels. I'm such a girl, aren't I?
That's what I want to kind of get into, is how we arrive at what we do, you know, and I can only understand how I do it, you know. And when I teach, I try to teach the way I do it, but that doesn't connect with everybody, you know, so I just want to see how...
It's such a great thing to talk about, because as soon as you started breaking down how you approach a song, I'm like, wow, I don't think about any of that, other than the part that I have to think about just to get to the emotive place, you know?
Well, I mean, I'd like to get to that place, too. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. So you gotta, I mean, even at from the technical level,
yeah.
You try to get it to get it to happen.
Yeah, I guess we're both trying to end up in the same spot, sort of.
Yeah, anyone want to talk about, you know, how do you prepare a tune, or what goes through your mind when you choose a tune? Or when Uncle Earl does a tune, how do you, you know, does everybody vote, let's say we want to do this tune, or we don't, or?
You mean that's a band process, yeah. And me choosing a tune are really different things.
Okay,
but,
well.
Band process is a mess. Uncle Earl has a workshop later today. We'll talk about that there if you are actually interested in that process. Otherwise, I'd say I usually choose a tune because I've heard someone do it who did it in such a way that made me want to fall over. It was so beautiful. And so I usually try to go learn that tune from the person who I heard it from, unless it's an old recording. And then I try to learn it note for note off of recordings, especially old ones like field recordings and stuff like that. But I guess that's generally how I go about choosing and learning it too. You guys, Danny?
Well, I think part of my gets me going is I'm a fan, and I like to play things that I would like to hear. So I like to listen to records, and I'm into music, I'm into different things, and sometimes I just try to think about music playing in my head. It's playing in my head right now. It's all muffled. There's all this 200 cycle bump in the low end because we're in the back of the subwoofers. No, I'm just being stupid. But anyway, that's kind of my thing, is I'm a fan of music and stuff, and so when I go to make a song, I really try to make something I'd like to listen to. So I don't know if that makes any sense. And as far as orientation, I'm very interested in contemporary music, contemporary classical music and avant-garde, and I'm also very interested in very primitive forms also. So my own orve, or however you say that word, what I'm interested in is sort of this juxtaposition of ancient things and then contemporary things also. Contemporary harmony and rhythm and juxtaposition of things. Sort of based on a format of older music.
It's interesting because, you know, I find that Bill Frisell's music has a lot of that too. There's a lot of sort of simplicity and primitive feeling, but it's there's
like this cadre of guys, composers in Seattle that are sort of mining that world. There's about four or five composers, musicians there that are kind of working in that field. That are kind of, it's kind of a cool place to hang out in that respect. Wayne Horvitz is one. Wayne and I did a record that 2 years ago was picked as New Yorker Magazine picked it as one of the top 10 jazz albums of the year. It's called My Lab. Bill Frisell was on it, Brigham Krause, and there's another composer, Robin Holcomb, there. She's on None Such Records. And Bill lives there, and then this other friend of mine, Avon Kane, who he does a lot of commissions for European symphonies for new music and things. He's a very brilliant guy. There's about five or six people that kind of delve in that world.
In the Seattle area?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see. You know, I'm... probably most people have heard. That guitar run. Example of what the way my head works. I noticed those notes. It was a short scale. There's five notes there. So that's what people mean when they say pentatonic, five tone scale. I hear real musicians talking and using these words, and so I figure I better learn them too, so I can understand them and talk back at them when necessary. And that was one of those words, a pentatonic. And then I found it's really. Scale and then work down from it and see what I can get going. And also recognizing the structure of that. And then if you finding the other scales that lay well on the banjo. And it turns out there's four of them, all of which contain G and D. And those notes account for four out of my five strings. And so to use them in the melodic style means I don't have to fret those notes. And so the G scale is those two notes plus an A and an E and a B. And all I do is change one note here, and I'm all of a sudden in C. Once I got the set of notes. And here's another one that